is time to put away the bias, the lies, and deceit and bring forth real talk from real people about real news. Providing the out loud truth and capturing the essence of a new generation all in a fast-paced hour. This is Viewpoint This Sunday.
Welcome to another Viewpoint This Sunday. This is Malcolm Out Loud. Well, we've been counting the weeks and then the days and now soon to be hours before election 2020. You know, it's amazing how these things, they seem like they're so far away and then all of a sudden it's here. And it's almost a head shake, right? You agree. And then you see, well, this is a big moment here. It is a big moment for our nation. It's a big moment for all Americans. Actually, it's a big moment for the world, because the impact of this election, make no mistake about it, does indeed impact the world here. We're excited. Of course, everybody's got a little butterflies here with the election, but we are very excited about the future of America and the opportunity that is before us. And that's the way we see it here at America Out Loud, and you know that out there. So let me tell you what the roadmap is today here on the program. I am really super excited here because we're going to start with this really special segment in just a moment here entitled We the People. And you'll meet three, I think, extraordinary voices in just a moment. I'm just speaking to them for the first time today, as you'll be hearing them. But we'll get a sense of what their feelings are and their assessments on the election. And I love doing this, so I think you'll enjoy this segment. Now, just after that, we have with us on the program today, Scott Baio will be here. Scott Baio, and he'll have a lot to say about the fight for America here. And also, you might remember Bill Binney. Remember William Binney of NSA fame? Sure you do. And he'll be here about the Russian disinformation and more on Joe Biden and that whole scandal and a whole lot more later in the program. And of course, our second hour with Michael Johns, Viewpoint Presents, will follow right after Viewpoint This Sunday. So welcome to the program, my fellow Americans, and let's get started now with We the People here. I want to welcome on three new voices, first time we're talking to them, but Ken Jones is here. He's a retired physician who has followed Trump's election from the get-go and followed a lot of the going-ons with COVID-19 as well. Ken is here as a big influencer out in social media and having his voice heard. Also, Sky is here. She's a legal immigrant from Iran. I love this next. She's about the Constitution and the American dream. And she lives in the suburbs of San Francisco, by the way. Ken is out of the Oklahoma area. It's interesting to see the geographical parts of this here. I love the fact that Sky brings up the Constitution and the American dream. It hardly gets any better than that. My friends, you know. And then Ed Monette is here. He is out of Southern New Hampshire. He's a business consultant and a registered independent. Interesting. And it's good to have Ken, Sky, and Ed here. And so I want to start here. And Ken, I want to start with you on this here. So listen, people are afraid and excited at the same time with this election. Right. There's, you know, call it what you want. Some maybe it's just butterflies for some, but people understand the seriousness of what this election is. Why is this election so hugely important, you think?
This election, I think, is election of a lifetime. If Trump is not elected, you can expect most of your freedoms to be taken away. They'll take away the guns. They'll take away God. They'll take away your ability to buy gas. They want to get rid of fossil fuels. They want to take control of all the guns. And of course, they are willing to allow people to riot, but they don't want them to go to church.
Yeah, that has been a telltale sign, hasn't it, Ken, all the way through, right? A lot of people are upset with that. Yeah. There have been a lot of freedoms that have been taken from people through this COVID exercise. Ken, you've been talking about, you've been staying on the COVID, as you say. And as a, what kind of physician were you, by the way, as a retired physician? What kind was you?
I was a psychiatrist.
Oh, fantastic. Okay. Have you been able to figure out the COVID problem and what we're doing here? Because it seems like psychology is at the center of this storm. What do you think about that and how they utilized COVID-19? I don't know. How have they utilized COVID-19? Let me ask.
I think if you, I keep up with the doctors, both on the liberal side, like Dr. Fauci, and then frontline doctors, more conservative, they're in active practice. There's a lot of misinformation going around, which is promoted by the mainstream media. And the PCR test that they're using is not specific for COVID. It's if you had a cold or flu or any coronavirus, it can be positive. In fact, I guess you might have heard about the person who tested a chicken and a pawpaw and it came back positive. So when they say all these new cases and they say, oh, it's exploding, it's because they're doing more testing. And 80% of the tests, according to Dr. Fulmich in Germany, are false positives. He's actually going to, he's doing a class action lawsuit, which he's going to sue all these people promoting this COVID. Basically, it's to make a lot of fear porn so that people will be afraid and want to vote for Biden because they think they're going to die. Right. Which, you know, if you look at anything, it's 99.9% survival. I mean, to my opinion, that's not a pandemic.
Basically, to instill fear in the people. Sky, let's bring you into the conversation and tell me, this fear thing with COVID, in your opinion, has it worked with the populace here prior to the election? Has it worked?
Seems like it's worked in California a little bit, but I just don't understand it. I mean, being that I am asthmatic, so it's, you know, I basically would fall under one of those, you know, categories that I should be really watching out for. This has been 9 months of it, and I've been just doing everything as I would normally do, and nothing has happened. And I've actually have had family members who've had COVID, from 55 years old to 80 years old, you know, back in Iran, we've had a few, and everybody's recovered. And there were several drugs that, you know, have become politicized, unfortunately. And I actually ordered mine from, I got some from Iran and I got some from Mexico, and I have them on hand because, you know, my physician told me it's a good idea to just have them, yes. You know, so it, I think it's just been blown out of proportion. You know, I don't remember wearing a mask when we had Ebola or, you know, 60 yeah. million people got sick. And I don't remember anybody telling us to wear a mask. And let now me, I'm thinking maybe I should have.
Sky, let me ask you something. First of all, what a blessing that everybody has recovered from COVID and your family and people you know. That is an absolute blessing. So terrific there. Let me ask you something that's a little bit of a sensitive question, but I'm very curious to get your response. There have been a lot of people talking about this mask wearing thing. And in fact, I was at a public venue just yesterday and seen a lot of I don't care for the mask thing. I know what I know about it, and it gives me no comfort. And I see it as more of a threat. But a lot of people have pointed to the fact they reference Sharia law or a hijab or whatever. What do you say to that?
I honestly see it as a form of control, and I'm not 100% against masking, saying nobody should wear it, but right. I think it should be up to you. And I think enforcing it the way they have been, I honestly think it is a test to see how many people actually comply. And coming from a country that started that way, I mean, I'm old enough to have gone through a revolution and then a war. And so the regime of Iran, that's how they start. They start by sample sizing everything. And it starts with one thing at a time. So it's, you know, a mask today and tomorrow could be a scarf. And the next day it's going to be zones you're not going to be able to go to. I mean, if you look at California right now, Gavin Newsom is starting to basically poke his head in people's homes.
Yeah.
So yeah. I only see it as a form of control, you know, and unfortunately, I don't think, you know, wearing a mask, if you want to wear it, that's fine. I just don't see, what I've realized is that a lot of people actually wear masks and they think, okay, they're fine now. They don't wash their hands and they end up being sick.
There you go. There you go. It's a false sense of security for a lot of people. And a lot of MDs have spoken about the ineffectiveness of it. But I love your answer, by the way, Sky. You're very even keel in your thinking process. And I would align with your thinking very much so. We say, well, if one wants to do it, terrific. It is your opinion and you should be entitled to do so. And I agree with you. I don't look at it as down or up or down or whatever. But we all have the right, and we shouldn't be called out or confronted if we don't wear one either. And I like what you say there. But more so, everybody should hear what you said as well, because as a legal immigrant from Iran, you have a lot to say on this and would be, I would consider an expert in the field when you talk about control and what it is to wear a face covering, which was my reference to that question. And thank you for that answer. That was absolutely perfect. Let me bring into the conversation Ed. And ahead. Just recently, a couple of weeks ago, we had a civil rights leader, Bob Woodson, on the program here. And he's incredible. What a talented, amazing voice. He is the founder of 1776 Unites and the Woodson Center. And he said, America is defined by its promise, not just its past. And those are strong words to me, that we're defined by our promise. This is a promise for all Americans, Black America, White America, all America. What do you say to that, the idea of America and its promise versus our historical past and that we are defined by that?
As far as promise is concerned, I agree 100% with him. And he is an amazing man. I follow him myself.
Oh, cool.
The problem with this is that the left, that doesn't fit into their theme. So as you said earlier, even though America brings promise to everybody, through the legal process especially, unfortunately, that message doesn't resonate with everybody, with the exception of people that are maybe moderate to conservative. If they're to the left at all, it doesn't resonate simply because it is the truth and it just doesn't fit into their narrative.
There is this threat of socialism and communism coming to America, which I know certainly each of you can talk about. I know Skye can talk about that as well because of her background and where she comes from. But Ken, staying with this battle for the soul of the nation, how does that argument center square up with this election and the importance of it?
I think the battle for the soul of the nation is like, do we have our freedoms or are we going to be controlled by a new world order? I guess you might, maybe you heard about the global reset that the World Economic Forum wants to do. They want to take control of all the money in the world and have one world government. And of course, that means the elite will be living nicely and the rest of us will be like slaves. And I think that with Trump, I'm pretty certain he's going to win and he's not going to have that happen because he can't have the global reset with the World Economic Forum as long as Trump is president.
Skye, why is Donald Trump such a threat to the people? Why?
I honestly believe he's a threat because he's stopping them from taking everything. It's exactly what Ken was just saying. You know, it's control versus freedom. And for somebody like me, you know, I left everything that Joe Biden is, you know, saying he wants and he will do. I left all that behind to come to America for freedom.
That is absolutely profound what you say there right this moment here. The fact that you left that sort of thing, just everybody hear that. And that is exactly at the center of the campaign that Biden and Kamala Harris are running on. Is that pretty sick, Skye, or what?
It's exactly what it is. Everything the Democratic Party is promising is everything I left a dictatorship behind, you know, for that reason. Everything they say, every promise they make, every, you know, slogan, that's everything I left behind. And it wasn't easy. You know, I left everything behind. It wasn't easy to leave my family, and get accustomed to a different life. But I left all that behind for America, for the freedom. And to me, the reason I fight is because I feel like they're taking me back.
Wow. Skye, America has a special place in your heart, doesn't it?
Oh, America's everything to me. Honestly, I can't even describe it, but America's giving me, you know, my voice, giving me me. Mm. So the fact that they want to take it away, and I'm an immigrant, I always tell that to people and they take it lightly sometimes. No, I'm an immigrant from a country on a ban list. So I am exactly what, you know, destroys their narrative. I'm a woman. This is my second language. You know, I left everything behind. I lived in different countries. I've experienced socialism. I've experienced dictatorship. I've experienced Islam, which terrifies me to the bone. Every time Joe Biden brings it up, it just brings back memories. Mm.
Wow. Wow. Skye, bless you so much here.
So this election is everything to me.
beyond all this talk now about landslides and waves, whatever color they may be, I mean, let's face it, everybody, America is an incredibly divided nation. And it typically is always a close race. It's not typically a landslide or a wave, but there are a lot of people that have their thoughts to that. And I want to go around the room here again with each and talk to you about what does your heart say right now about the election outcome, which is just a couple of days away. Now, this is your point. We can play this back later and see how close we were. But, Ken, let me start with you, and you set us up here. What's your gut say, your heart, about this election? What's the outcome say when we talk about not just the Oval Office, but the House and the Senate and some of the local races? What's your feelings, please?
My feelings, if you listen to Dr. Steve Turley, he's given a lot of information where he goes down to the county level. And like in Miami, Miami-Dade County is supposed to be a big Democrat area. Yet they're much behind what they were doing in 2016 with Hillary. The Cubans, 73% of the Cuban Americans are voting for Trump. About 40-some percent of the Hispanics are voting for Trump. Over 30% of the blacks are voting for Trump. This is really devastating for Biden. Florida has already been won, according to Turley. It's like the mail-in ballots and the walk-in, the Republicans are ahead of where they were in 2016. And of the last six elections, whoever wins Florida goes, they take the rest of it. In Philadelphia, something like 27% of the Philadelphia, which is a Democrat stronghold, are voting for Trump. Mm-hmm. So usually Philadelphia is almost 100% Democrat. The police officers in Philadelphia refuse to rescind their support of Trump. So I think when you see Trump going and being in Michigan, he had John James speak. In Arizona, he had Martha McSally speak. Mm-hmm. I think he's out there now getting people for the Congress and the Senate, and I think we're going to do fine. But the only thing is, it's you have to vote, and then we have to make sure that whoever counts the votes does it
properly
in a accurate way.
So you feel pretty good. You feel pretty good with an outcome that you think will be satisfying. Yes.
Oh yeah, I think it's going to be great, but everybody's got to vote.
Ed, I want to get you next here. Talk to me about the outcome, please. What do you think?
Yes, I think if the playing field is equal Ken just stated, meaning the ballots being counted properly and no confusion during election day, et cetera, et cetera. I think this will be decided on Tuesday and or maybe a day or so thereafter. I don't think it's going to linger on. I think that's all media misinformation, I guess. Right. That's the way it is. I believe Trump is going to win. And I also believe that they're going to maintain the Senate. I'm not so sure about
the House.
I'm not so sure about the House yet, but I do believe that it will be a strong outcome. And you have to remember as well, Trump supporters in general are not loud. They're not obnoxious. Right. They just vote.
That's right.
They just come out and do their thing.
Well, that's really the kind of the secret to this whole thing right now. Actually, the secret recipe, and as Ken was just alluding to, and with all his terrific information about breaking down some of the specific markets, you're seeing some of the votes and how they're changing or turning early on here. And it tells you that the president has done quite a bit for Black America, for Hispanic America, for Cuban America, for a lot of these markets that the media has tried to divide it of. They've tried to make him into a racist xenophobe. Clearly we're seeing the sky that's not the case. But that's always been their go-to thing on the left. It's projectionism at their best. What they throw out there is typically what they are themselves, you see? And they're very good at that, actually. So, Sky, let's get your predictions now as far as how you feel. What's your heart say about November 3?
So, as a suburban woman, since they've been, using that term for so long, for the past few months.
Yeah.
I definitely think the president is going to have it for sure. I have no doubt that he's going to win. There's no other way around it. I mean, you look at Biden and I just don't see anybody, honestly, and I don't want to sound rude, especially here on, on your show, but I don't see anybody that with really a properly functioning brain voting for Joe Biden, because you are voting for Kamala Harris. And, you know, and we know how her record is. So I honestly think they're going to win, you know, the presidency, we're going to win. The Senate, I am a little worried about, not because I think we will maintain it. However, you know, I'm looking at Suzanne Collins and, you know, how much of a flip-flop she's been on right. many issues that are really important, especially to women. And I think she may lose her seat if she, you know, continues the way she has. And then as far as the whole Biden thing, I mean, you know, just going back to that last point you had, I think it should have come out earlier. And to be honest with you, for anything that has not come out, I blame the Republicans for. I am just boggled. I was looking at Dinesh D'Souza's Trump card, and I'm looking at all these people who have been arrested on our side with very little, you know, very little, you know, they're small issues that in comparison to what we've seen, you know, on the other side, like, you know, Roger Stone and all that, they've all been arrested. They've all been punished and nothing on the left. And I blame the Republicans for that.
Well, you're so well spoken. All of you are. And Sky, you said exactly a lot of things I'm thinking of too. Who's in the bullpen for 2024? And I'll say one thing to you, Sky, and all of our listeners here. Just last week, I think it was, or so, we had Senator Ron Johnson on, who of course is center to a lot of this Hunter Biden storm in Washington as chairman of the committee there. You know, he would be a terrific candidate for president in 2024. He is such an American hero, a patriot. And like Trump, he's a businessman, by the way. So I just throw that out there. Not that I'm his campaign manager, Sky, you know, but I throw that out there because he's been truly remarkable. And we've had so many like that. But you're right also to blame the Republicans. I can't discount that at all. And I do the same as well. And I so appreciate your honesty. What an extraordinary segment here. And I'm so pleased to meet each of you. I feel like we have three new friends here. And I look forward to talking again with Ken Jones, Sky, and Ed Monette here. And we appreciate each of you. Thank you so much. And what a great segment. We the People. I love that. Love it. So what we'll do now, up next, we're going to have Scott Baio will join me for the Fight for America. And we'll talk about a lot of different things about socialism, Marxism, why he supports the Trump as a lone voice in Hollywood, of course. Not a lone voice. There are others. In fact, I talked to another one just the other day. I'll be telling you about a little bit after here. Interested to get Scott's perception. A lot more viewpoint coming up in just a moment, friends. Stay right there. We'll rejoin you just after the boys.
We are the vision of the voices. You can email us at talk@americaoutloud.com.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Welcome back to Viewpoint This Sunday. And, well, the big discussions or arguments in this election, probably more than any other election in our lifetime, is this fact of socialism or Marxism, if you want to call it for anything worse, seems to be more real today than it's ever been. You know, at one point we used to chuckle about it, but nobody's really laughing now, are they now, right? Let's talk next a little bit more about that and the consequences of this election here. Welcome onto the program, actor, director, Scott Baio is here. He's, of course, everybody knows Scott. You made a name. Happy days are here again, right? That's how you started, buddy. You've done a lot since then, of course. Do you ever get tired of people saying that or singing that song? Does that ever say, gosh, shut up?
What surprises me, Malcolm, is that people still know it and watch it. You know, it's just a testament to the quality of that show. I mean, it was just good, wholesome Americana television, and which is gone from the landscape now. But now I get a kick out of it because, you know, usually it's, hey, I used to have posters of you up on my wall and all that kind of stuff. I enjoy it.
Yeah, well, they put posters of me up. They throw darts at it, Scott. I'm a political commentator.
Well, now they throw darts at me because they know I'm a Trump supporter, but that's okay.
Well, you know, as an ode to you in that era, my children, my daughter, who's 18 now, by the way, and my son's 17, Scott. So I mentioned you were going to be on the show. And, of course, Logan doesn't pay attention. He said, well, I don't know who he is. You know, he's in a different era, of course. But Jordan, my 18, she knows, yeah, Scott Baio, okay, cool, he'll be on. So she knew and he didn't. What do you think of that?
But at least one of them is smart.
Exactly. Anyways, let's talk about the seriousness of this election and what has taken place. It is probably something many of us would say we've never seen in our lifetime. And I open it up there talking about socialism or Marxism, for another word. You know, they've tried to make socialism seem or sound warm and fuzzy to people. You know, you're going to get this, you're going to get that, you're going to get whatever. But it really is a battle for the soul of our nation. It's more serious today, Scott, than it's ever been. Let's bring it right now to this election on Tuesday and the importance of a Trump presidency versus a Biden presidency. And your thoughts, sir?
Malcolm, I don't think people, uninformed people, really know what socialism is. I don't think they understand what Marxism is. I don't think they understand that within a very short time, they'll be told what they can eat, what they can drive, what kind of job they can have, and how much money they can make. And that's it. And you are dictated by government how your life should be. And I am not exaggerating it. I am not, I'm not making it up. And people always say, well, look at Venezuela. Well, you can't say that because look at Venezuela. Okay. I know where it is on the map, but other than that, I can't look at Venezuela. I don't know. I know their economy is destroyed. And people are starving because of socialism, once an incredibly wealthy oil-rich country. So the choices are, when I have a nice conversation, I try to say, look, do you want somebody telling you what kind of car you can drive? And they go, no. Oh, right. So that's as simple as it gets. You're going to be told what you can, cannot do. Or do you want to be free, to work hard, to succeed, to fail, to succeed again, to become wealthy? Because it's not a zero-sum game, this economy. There's not a finite amount of money in this country. People think it works. People think that because if Jeff Bezos has $700 billion, that's taken away from other people. It doesn't. And Pete, you're stealing from poor people. No, he's not. You know, I've worked since I'm 9. Did I steal from other people their money? No, I just worked. Mm-hmm. I worked hard. I'm working for 51 years. So the choices are very, very simple. Do you want to just get by and have a piece of bread and some water? Or do you want to live a life that's full and do what you want? Travel, go, see, apply yourself, work hard, damn it. That's what this country was founded on. That's why we're better than everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's American exceptionalism, American ingenuity. I talk about it every day, Scott.
Mm-hmm. Why do people want to come here from these countries? Why? Because they want to turn it socialist because they don't know any better. Mm-hmm. But why are you coming here? For opportunity. But why kill it? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's perfect. Listen, on the program today, in fact, I had a segment, We the People, Scott, you will love this. And one of the people on there was an immigrant from Iran who came here like 20 years ago legally and just speaks about America in a tone like would be music to your ears, you know? Just music to your ears. But that is what America is, isn't it?
America is the land of opportunity. And it, as long as we have Trump and whomever comes after Trump, not Biden and Harris, whomever comes after, you know, in the next 2024, We have to perpetuate what this country was founded on.
Yeah.
We are not here to become socialized as much as we are socialized already. I don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
I for the life of me, I don't understand. I guess it's ignorance. And you know, I'll tell you what the problem is. I'll tell you exactly what the problem is. School. They are not taught about American history.
Indoctrination.
They're not taught about who we are, what we are, why we were founded, how we were founded, and what we strive to be. They're not. They're taught that we're bad. And it's disgusting. You know, I pulled my daughter out of a school because they were starting this crap.
That's right. Well, let me ask you this. Is it ignorance or is it the fact that the people who are selling it in a way that they're packaging it, that people are buying into? I wonder.
Oh, Malcolm, it's everywhere. It's on. It's in regular programming. It's in the news.
Yeah.
It's on social media. I don't know how they have dominated all these platforms, but you can't escape it.
Mm-hmm.
It's frightening, and I don't know. You know, there's such a big hole for just conservative media.
Right.
Oh, you know, yeah. Fox is filling it to a certain extent, but I meant entertainment.
Right.
But it's invasive. You can't chew a stick of gum without a message on in the wrapper.
Yeah.
It's insane.
You know, America, in a lot of ways, let me say this to you. In a lot of ways, America is on the ballot. This is an interesting way maybe to look at it. I'd like you to comment on it this November 3rd here in just a couple of days. America is on the ballot in many ways. And here's what I ask you back here. There are so many people, like, they think it's a crime to be patriotic today. It's almost, my son almost, whenever he wears an American flag, because he's a patriot, he loves the country. My son does. But when he does that, people will call him out, or the school will. Or if he wears something about Trump, they say it's offensive. Why is it to be an American right now for the left? Why is it about hate for them, Scott? Why is pure hate so in their eyes? And why do they despise all that America is?
First of all, isn't it interesting, Malcolm, how the American flag has become associated with conservatism?
That's it.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
They don't like the American. They don't like it. They, boy, that's a really good question, Malcolm. Mm-hmm. That's a really, really, I honestly think about that. They hate the country. And I think, I could tell you why I think they hate it in regard to Trump, but listen, there's always been a faction in this country that's been socialist or Marxist, even going back 150 years. But people that hated the country back then. But I think it's all about power. I think they hate the fact that conservatism promotes freedom. I think they want government to control everything, and I don't understand that. They want to control every aspect of your life, the liberals. I think that the hatred for independence is overwhelming, and then you marry that to Trump, who, first of all, I think Trump has magnified everything. I think Trump is exposing all these people for who they really are. I think the reason they really, really hate him is because he beat Hillary, and secondly, what they've been promising for 60, 70 years in terms of the black community, the Hispanic community, women, what they've been promising for 60 years, the liberals, Trump did it in 3.5, mm-hmm. and they hate him for it.
Mm-hmm.
He women all the lowest unemployment numbers ever. And they hate him for it because he actually did it. And it makes them look like buffoons and incompetent, which they are.
Yeah.
So getting back to your question,
it's a good way to say it. It's a good way to say it, buddy.
I don't know why. Why would you hate it here?
Mm-hmm.
What's the hate?
Mm-hmm.
Do whatever you want. It's beautiful. Beautiful
exactly.
country.
Exactly. It's a paradise. Absolutely. You know, what you say there is so profound, and the way you laid that out there, Scott, in regards to how what he's accomplished in those 3.5 years, that they haven't, like, well, in the case of Joe Biden, 5 decades later, if I said to you right now, tell me, give me one or two things on your hand that he has accomplished, what you couldn't answer that, could you?
Joe Biden? Yeah, he's accomplished a lot. He got some really good deals with China for his son and Oman. Yeah, I think he's got some. He's done a lot of stuff as a senator,
accomplished a lot.
Vice president. Yeah, no, he's done a lot of stuff. You know, he's enriched his family. He makes $170,000 a year, and he's got four homes. Yeah, he's done a lot, Joe Biden. I don't know what he's done in government. I can tell you what he's done for his family.
Isn't that the way it is, Scott? For all these politicians, yep. You see how broken Washington is.
That's and another reason why they hate Trump, because he's exposed it all. And it's a wonderful thing to see. And I hope, you know, Malcolm, I pray every night hard that this man wins again, because I am so sick of this. I'm so sick of the way he's being treated. I'm so sick of my country being run down. Mm-hmm. I come from Brooklyn, New York. Okay. And I grew up in a 99.9% Italian American community. And I didn't like anybody but an Italian-American, and that's the truth. I am now an older guy. I love everybody. I don't care. I have black friends, white friends, green friends, purple friends. I like people who are good people. We conservatives, we don't see color. And I think James Woods had one of the greatest tweets. It was a photo of Clarence Thomas swearing in Amy Coney Barrett, and James Woods wrote, "Here is the racist, bigot, misogynistic, conservative party, a black man swearing in a woman," and it was just perfect. We are so much more open minded to race. I don't see race, and they see race.
They
all
played the cards that way, Scott. It's how they played it all. I mean, the left is brilliant at that stuff, buddy. I mean, and they pinned all that stuff on the right consistently. And the problem with the right is they bend over and take it.
That's exactly right.
And then Trump came along and he said, "I'm not going to have it anymore," and they didn't like that either. Right. Yeah, that's it.
Exactly right. I don't know what they're afraid of. I just don't get it. They're afraid of the media. Let's talk about the media moment.
I want to get that point with you. Now, the New York Post story and then closing down the White House press secretary and even locking posts down and tweets and everything else from the president. Obviously, they're out of control. Big tech, big media, all of it is completely. Let's see as we go through this election cycle now, Scott, but I would venture to say to you that our media landscape has changed pretty dramatically now. It is all to the far left. They own the megaphone to our nation, including Hollywood, as you know, and entertainment and all of it, sports. How do we ever get back in this nation again? How do we get so far removed, but how do we get back? How does America ever trust the media again, do you think?
I don't think America trusts the media. I think there's a small percentage of people that watch MSNBC and CNN. And I really don't think people pay too much attention to the media, because it's not media. It's not news. It's just propaganda. Another arm of the Democrat Party. And how do we get back to it? Well, I think that if you watch what happened with the NBA, they lost 70% of their audience. People just stopped watching because they don't want to be preached to. Yep. I just want to watch a game. Mm-hmm. I just want to watch a movie. So the more we tune out, the more we stop, and I'm not calling for a boycott of anything, the more you just stop buying certain clothing. Because somebody is saying something in that clothing line that you don't like, don't buy their clothes. You know, just by the power of us turning it all off, I think hurts them tremendously, and that's how they learn. Also, we need some kind of a network or some sort of other platform. That is not, I don't want to say conservative, but just wholesome.
How about patriotic? Patriotic.
Patriotic, American entertainment. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be preached to. Mm-hmm. I don't have a problem with anybody. Mm-hmm. I don't need to be told about any group of people. I live my life, and you just want to be entertained, and that's what needs to be put on out there. And that would absolutely crush it, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. That is perfectly said. You know, I seen you a comment you said recently It was to Maria Bartiromo, yeah. It was in regards to dementia and Alzheimer's, which touched me in a way, because you spoke about your own mom. And, yeah. You know, I talk about this a fair amount on the network as well, Scott, in regards to, and I don't like to make fun ever of Joe Biden's health. I think it's, you know, it's not in that way of the dementia way. In fact, I always pray for an answer for that in our country. I always have. I hate to see people get to that point of their life and then suffer in the way that they do in their families as well. But how startling is it that the Democrat Party, with all those candidates, could only come up with a man who clearly is suffering from dementia as their poster child coming into the selection? Does that not speak volumes to you?
Well, I have a different theory, Malcolm. I think that he was placed there because he was at the time the least offensive, kind of a doddering guy, kind of like your grandpa. Kind of likable. He's just Joe. And I think the plan was to just have him win, get him out. And that's why they made him pick Kamala, which is the way she says it, by the way.
Kamala. Oh, really? Kamala?
So, yeah. I've heard her three times say, hey, it's Kamala. So she can, I don't care what the news says, it's Kamala. And stick her in there, the most liberal senator that's ever maybe walked into the chamber. In the Senate, and I think that was their plan all along. If you went with anybody else on that podium, right. On that stage, they were all nuts. And some of the guys, I don't think would have played ball. Some of the guys who were more middle of the road, they wouldn't have played ball. But Joe Biden, and again, I'm going to say this, I say this in a caring way. I think they realize the guy's mind is going, and he's not, and there's no fight in him anymore. Just put him up there as a puppet. Hopefully, he wins, and have Kamala become president, and then we're on the road to ruin. But the poor man, and his wife. You know what, Malcolm? You know what bothers me about Joe Biden more than anything is his wife sits right next to him, and allows all this to happen. And I can tell you from experience, this man has either dementia or slipping into Alzheimer's. He does.
Yeah, and
shame on her for putting her husband.
Scott, I said it the other day. I swear to you, I said the same thing. I've seen his wife right on the side of him, and I seen he was calling the president George. Remember the moment when he was calling the president George? She was right on the side of him when he did that, and you could see the look on her face, the fear. She knew, and I thought, oh my golly, is she knows this is all wrong and she's going through the charade anyways. It's pretty sick.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
That's it. That's
so what maybe I she's just intoxicated with the potential of being the first lady for a week and a half and
and then, I don't know.
Right off into the
All right,
sunset.
So last word I got to ask you now is we're just 2 days away, brother, from this momentous election in our country. What does your heart tell you?
Oh, Malcolm, my God. Well, I don't know. I think there's going to be a ton of cheating. I think if you want to preserve this country as founded, look. You may not like the president. Did you see the letter that Jack Nicklaus wrote?
Yeah.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
You may not like the man. You think he's brash and loud and obnoxious. But what he's done for this country in 3.5-4 years is absolute. Forget the coronavirus, which is now being, which was politicized from day one by Dr. Fauci, that dirtbag. What this man has done for this country, what he's done for the minority community, what he's done for small business, what he's done for to be respected around the world again, to be feared around the world again, and all these other things. And I don't want to bore you and go on and on, but the man has been one of the most successful, in my opinion, one of the great presidents of all time. And we were both around for the great Ronald Reagan.
I put
this guy right up there with Reagan.
100%.
What he's done. So you got to get out there and vote like your life and your country depend on it, because they do.
That's right. Well, Scott, I would say to you, I think I'm feeling pretty juiced right now coming into this election. And I think President Trump has got it. I think he's got
Malcolm, I hate saying it. I don't want to say it.
Okay.
You know that old, I don't want to whammy it.
All right.
But I pray to God. Like I told you, I hit the pillow every night. Pray to God every night.
Yeah.
And Malcolm, the reason I'm so invested in this, it's not about me. It's about your kids and mine.
That's right. That's right.
I want my daughter to have opportunity and to live in a country that's free. That's what I want.
Amen. Yeah, a couple of weeks from now after the election, we'll join up again and talk about what happened. You know, it'd be like, hopefully it's not like we got sideswiped from a car, Scott, but it'll be all good news, I hope, you know?
Yeah, I hope so.
I know as well. Scott Baio, stay right there, friends. Up next, Bill Binney from NSA joins us. More Viewpoint in just a moment.
The America Out Loud Talk Radio app is on Android or Apple. It's the perfect way to listen in to the new generation of talk shows and hosts who are ready to inform and inspire.
Spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. This is not a fight of Republican versus Democrat. It's not a fight of rich versus poor, old versus young, man versus woman, gay versus straight. It's not a fight of black lives, blue lives, Hispanic lives, or white lives. This is a battle of good versus evil. It's a fight for the soul of humanity. We are the vision of the voices, America Out Loud Talk Radio. They have really brutalized the Russia, Russia, Russia narrative has become almost, it is a national laughingstock, sort of like the same way racism, racism, racism. This is one of those kinds of things, people. So anyways, it is what it is, right? We still have to talk about this. And let's bring on here William Binney. Bill Binney, you remember the name. He is the, NSA fame, to say the least. He is the former technical director of the World Geopolitical and Military Analysis and Reporting Section of the NSA. He worked there a long time, a whole career of 30 years. He had a lot of differences of opinions. And anyways, you know how history went. And after 9/11 and the failures of our intelligence community, for a lot of reasons, he went his own way. And you find today Bill is a voice that wants to be heard, needs to be heard, because of his expertise and what he knows is a threat to many inside the system. And so, Bill, we start with this. We went on with this whole, everybody knows the story about Russiagate and the hoax that was and the dossiers. And we've been down that road, America has. And now we find ourselves, they're going to the same kind of well with the Russia narrative, which really a lot of Americans are confused truly with what they're even talking about here. Can you sum it up for, how do we put this in a version so Americans really understand how they're using this under the guise of Russia again with this Joe Biden, Biden family corruption scandal extraordinaire? Bring it to us here. What's happening?
Well, what they're doing fundamentally is what I call the Wizard of Oz game. You know, look over here, don't look at me, you know. So it's the whole idea is don't pay attention to what you can really see. Pay attention to what I say or what I want, the narrative I want to spin. That way you don't, you won't look closely at me and see my warts, so to speak. So that's what I call the Wizard of Oz game. And they've been playing that all along with Russiagate from the beginning of the Trump campaign and the Trump administration. So they're playing the same game over and over again. They're looking for an outside enemy, you know, so that this is what every dictator has done. Anytime they have domestic problems, they look for an external enemy to focus their attention of the population on that enemy and not look at them. And that's really what they've been doing. They've been doing this kind of thing since the Roman Empire, you know, new here.
Right, right. Bill, do you think that they think that, A, they can get away with it really and truly? Or I wonder, on the other hand, Bill, and think about this a moment, because I've given it a lot of thought. Or is it a last gasp for power from people who have nothing else to throw?
I think it's a bit of both of what you're suggesting. But I would say, look at it still seems to be working with at least half the population of the country. That whole idea of Russia, 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 you know, it's always seems to be catching on. It's I think it's a leftover of the Cold War, you know, and the threat that was built in the mentally into people's minds that the Russians were really bad when it was really their government. And that government has pretty much changed. They still have residues of it there, but, you know, it's still not the same as it used to be. But they're basically leveraging that fear from the past. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah. Is this, I kind of see sometimes, Bill, this might be one of the gravest mistakes we make as a nation. And I say that you referenced the old Soviet Union and all of that, you know, back in the day when Reagan and Gorbachev, Thatcher and all that changed the world. But, you know, the whole Cold War, where we were, nuclear war. And, you know, but here we find ourselves today in an entirely different environment. And, you know, a lot of people would argue we have far more in common with Russians, the people of Russia, than we do with China. And people say, well, China is a threat, but yet we've cozied up to China, our leaders have in our system. I mean, it's kind of sick, actually, the way we're using Russia as sort of our target when really China is the big threat. And we've been sort of alarming the bells there for some years. But again, people are not really listening, are they?
No, they aren't. If you simply looked at the size of the GDPs of the different countries, there, China has a GDP that's, what, about 75% of what ours is?
Yeah.
And Russia's GDP is something like one-tenth of ours. So if you just gauge a threat based on that alone, I mean, clearly Russia is not the threat. So, and in fact, I think they've been, I mean, when it came to the, for example, the cooperation in terrorism and all of that, the Russians were the ones who alerted us to the Tsarnaev brothers and their training down in Chechnya. You know, they notified us of that. They let us know that that was happening. So that was an attempt at cooperation. And when, you know, when we tried to move under the Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State, tried to move NATO into Ukraine, that was in violation of the verbal agreement we had with the Soviet Union when it broke up, that said if they would take the nuclear weapons out of Ukraine and manage them, then we would not move NATO further east. Well, we violated that, you know, and that was a straightforward violation. That was all done purposely. And I said at the time, I said, well, if we're going to invite Ukraine to join NATO, why don't we also invite Russia to join? That way we're all included and we're not excluding anybody and treating them like a threat. And, you know, but that's not what we did under that previous administration. They've all made this big mistake. And I was happy, basically, to see that Donald Trump trying to get into talking to Putin and the Russians and all of it. You know, talk is better, but certainly what he's been doing with China is the first time anybody's ever faced the Chinese in terms of, you know, what they've been doing with our economy. They've been sucking everything out. It's like Ross Perot said under NAFTA, whenever they implement that, you can just hear the sucking sound of all the jobs going south to Mexico. And that's exactly what's happened.
You know, when, as you say, President Trump tried to create that relationship and they made such a fool and a spectacle back to Hillary Clinton and the reset button, which was an absolute joke, and what she and John Kerry did in the combination of that and Barack Obama and what they did around the world with that in foreign policy is a travesty compared to where President Trump has tried to reel it back in, more or less. And, you know, obviously, we're better to have those adversaries at the table talking with us where we know where they're at. Keep them close by. That is really the art of any deal. What's happening right now with this whole scandal with Hunter Biden, but more so Joe Biden. I mean, it's really not about Hunter. He's just a little proxy boy in there. It really is about Joe Biden. What do you see with this whole thing? Because right now we're on the tip of the election. We know that, and we'll talk more about the intelligence has been silenced. There are, and you have some thoughts and ideas on how President Trump could have gotten around that possibly, but he's constantly being held back and limited for what he can or can't do. Right now, none of this is going to impact the election November 3, which is just hours away now. I mean, it's coming in the next couple of days. And so what happens after that? Does this thing see the light of day, in your opinion? Are they going to be able to hold it back? And a lot of it depends what happens with the election, of course.
Well, I just think that if Biden wins, all of this will be submerged and we'll never see it again. And the evidence will be destroyed. I mean, that's what different people did. Like, for example, in CIA, when they had they were trying to expose the torture program there, and what they were doing with that, they basically destroyed the videos of the torturing and all of that as evidence. They destroyed it, and nobody was held accountable for that. Why? Because the people in power were covering up for each other, because they're all part of this cabal, you know, that was trying to take down President Trump, that's trying to basically, I call it sedition and treason against the founding principles of this nation. I mean, and against the people of the United States. I mean, they're corrupting what government we thought we had, we don't have. You know, it's just not there anymore. I just see this as all very bad unless we have some accountability. I was hoping that Barr and Durham would do something before the election.
Right.
But they failed to do that. They failed to move. And it is now questionable as to whether or not they are a part of this cabal also.
Hmm.
You know, no one's telling the public the truth. The media is suppressing it. You know, you've said that earlier. I mean, they just don't want any of the news out. They have a certain narrative they want to push, and they don't want anybody to see anything else other than that narrative. And as long as that's the case, no one will see anything else that will give them any idea what's really happening.
Yeah. You really, at this point, I think like a lot of Americans, are questioning, well, like you say, John Durham and Attorney General William Barr. What happened is they had a window there. A lot of this information, they waited to, what I think happened, and you tell me, Bill, but you probably know more than what I'm guessing here, but I think they waited too long and the window closed. And once you get closer and closer to the election, their hands were tied. There's no way they could have released it. You can't do it in the ninth inning because then they shout on the other side, obviously, you know, election, election, election. There really was a window here, and the information was well known last year, well before that. And I think what happened is, Bill, my guess is, I think they waited too long. I mean, we want to believe that Barr is going to do something here, but I think they waited to they wanted more and more, sort of like being greedy. You want to, you know, close down. And, you know, in a weird sort of way, Bill, the left never operates that way. As soon as they have anything even close to anything, they're right there on the airwaves, even when it's not even accurate, and they're shouting these things. Yet the right, they sit there and wait till, you know, they want to cross. I mean, at some point, you got to stop crossing T's and I's, and you got to get to the microphone or the camera and say, okay, we have a problem here, America. Now, that's just kind of the way I'm looking at it. But I think they waited too long. And once they got into that last moment, you can't do anything with it. Does that make sense or what?
Yeah, no, I because it would be construed as basically political partisanship, yeah. You know, or some that they wanted to avoid it. But, it, you know, they had plenty of evidence
exactly.
A year ago. They had plenty of evidence. So why they didn't move, I don't know, you know.
Yeah.
And we probably won't know. And if Biden gets elected, we will never know, I'm sure.
Really, the selling out of America, what the intelligence community has done, how bad is it in your estimation? And what needs to happen next, sir?
I personally think they need to have a major shakeup in the intelligence community. I mean, you can't trust them as a part of the government. They're not even, they operate independent of the U.S. government. I mean, they do their own thing. And from my point of view, they need to be really shaken up. I mean, that needs a major overhaul. I mean, you can't handle like all the things that the Church Committee set up to oversee them, the intelligence committees in the House and the Senate and the FISA Court. They're all a joke. It's basically a laughing stock. I mean, there is basically no oversight whatsoever. There's overlook and encouragement. You know, that's what they're doing. That's the effect of it. Well, to me, that means everything. It's not what you say, but what you do for me. And that's exactly what these people are overlooking and encouraging and supporting everything the intelligence community does. And that you can't tolerate that because these people, I mean, it's like they'll do anything they want to. Like they lied in the court against us. They put affidavits in that were lies and also tried to put an indictment together, which is also a stack of lies.
Yeah.
And the only reason I and the other people from NSA that were with me that aren't in jail is simply because we caught them at their lies.
Mm.
And we were ready to charge them with malicious prosecution in court. And they ran away because we had the evidence on them. We need to cleanse Washington fundamentally.
Mm.
Drain the swamp was a good quote from him. And that's really what has to happen.
You are listening there to the voice of William Binney of NSA fame, of course, Bill Binney. He is a patriot. He is a man of intelligence who speaks about intelligence and oftentimes the lack of intelligence in our political circles. Up next is Michael Johns joining me on Viewpoint Presents. We have a full next hour where we'll dive into the election strategies and talk more about what's going to take place in just a couple of days here. Thank you again, my fellow Americans, for being with me on the mission here always. It's time to get involved and get loud.